Take your Bible, John 21 tonight. I appreciate Brother Jeremy having us and y'all having us here this weekend. And it's been a blessing. I appreciate the spirit of your church. And man, I'm just telling you, God wants to do great things in our churches. I'm telling you, listen, I believe America can have revival. Somebody said, I hear a lot of preachers today say, well, I think it's too far gone. Nineveh wasn't too far gone. Okay, and I have a Bible that shows me all through the Word of God. If God decides He wants to send revival somewhere, God can send revival. Amen. And can I just tell you, it's not going to happen in the White House. It's not going to happen. You know, we're looking at the wickedness of the world, wondering why we can't have revival. I'm going to tell you where revival starts. It starts in our homes and it starts in the church house. And we can have it. Praise God. Brother McKinney, Brother Jeremy said, you said y'all had him a couple weeks ago, and he was with us last week, and he made a statement. And Brother Jeremy said he made this statement to y'all again, but he made a statement that what soul's waiting on the other side of your obedience. And man, that statement just started, man, it stirred me when I heard it. And I just started thinking about that statement. And just Lord just gave me a message that I really feel like, even when He said it, I thought, you know what, God's taking me somewhere. And I really did not. I wanted to preach this message to you tonight. But I had a couple other messages that I was looking at. I thought, no, I'm not going to preach those messages. But just today, God just gave me the message. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't preached this at our church yet. It's new on y'all. Praise God. Y'all pray for Miss Ogden. She's having some issues, Miss Liz. And so pray for her. But we're just going to, I'm going to get into it. And I hope it'll help you tonight. Can I just tell you, man, God wants to do something great with your life if you'll let Him. Amen. And look at your Bible, John 21. Let's stand. We're going to read a few verses tonight. John 21. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. And there were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Verse 3, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went immediately, they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered Him, no. And He said unto them, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. I want to go ahead and give it to you, and I want you to think about it tonight. What is on the other side of your obedience? He told him, verse number 6, he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Father, I need you tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for the, God, just the blessings of being in church. I thank you for each one that's come out tonight to be a part of the service. And God, we sure do need you tonight, Lord. God, we think about power. We think about your presence and all that. But God, it's all wrapped up in you, Father, and just having you in our life. And God, this church, Lord, desires, they hunger, Lord. They've had cottage prayer meetings, Lord. And God, they've prayed for these services. And God, there's something that you want to do, Lord, in this church. And I'm praying tonight, God, that your spirit would just move up and down the pews, Lord. Just stir in the hearts, God, in the hearts of your people. And Lord, we're not just asking for a challenge tonight. Lord, we're not just asking to be charged tonight, God. We're asking, God, that you'd change us, Lord. And God, that you'd do something great. And Father, we lift up Miss Liz Ogden to you, Lord. And God, whatever might be going on with her, and pray you just touch her, Lord. And God, we'll give you the praise for it. We do love you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of different opinions about John 21. I've heard some preachers say that Peter wasn't quitting. I've heard some people say that he was quitting. And I happen to believe that all the signs point to the fact that he was going back. If you look in the text with me, in verse number 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. I just happen to believe that Peter had just decided that he was done. And can I just say this? It's easy for us to judge Peter about quitting on the Lord or quitting the ministry. But can I just tell you, he went through a whole lot of stuff, and so did the rest of the disciples. Look at your Bible with me in Luke chapter 5. Keep your finger there in John chapter number 21. John chapter 21, but go over to Luke chapter number 5 with me, if you will. Luke chapter 5, and look with me there in verse number 4. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 4. When Jesus first finds his disciples, he comes to them. And verse number 4, Luke chapter 5, verse 4, if you're there, say amen. He says there in verse number 4, it says, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Let down your what? Y'all know this story, don't you? Y'all have heard it preached many times. Every preacher that I know has preached on this. But he says, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they were enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their what break? Their net break. Now Jesus told them let down their nets, but they let down the net. Verse number 8, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to what? Sink. Verse number 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their, what? Ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, Jesus, one of them let down the nets. Why? Because he was trying to sink the ships, if you will. Y'all with me? But they let down the net. And if we go over to John 21, if Peter had to obey God, and if the disciples had to obey God back in Luke chapter number 5, they'd not be in the place where they were in John 21. But they didn't let down the nets. They let down the net. And so the ships did not sink. And so Peter always had somewhere to go back to. If the ministry didn't work out, he could go back to fishing. If things didn't work out with Jesus, he could go back to fishing. But I'll tell you, friend, if he would have gone ahead and the first time God told him to do something, if he'd have listened to God, he'd had no ship to go back to. And I want to say this tonight, just by way of introduction, there might be something in your life tonight that is going to keep you from having revival. There might be something in your life tonight that God's dealt with you about and dealt with you about and dealt with you about and said, get rid of it. You got to step out by faith and trust God, and you're not willing to listen to what God has for you or what God wants you to do. Can I encourage you tonight? On the other side of your obedience, God's got something great for you. Go back with me in your Bible, if you will, in John chapter number 21. Jesus tells them the same thing. He tells them they're out fishing. I want you to notice verse number 3 again. Watch this. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, John 21 verse 3, that night they caught what? It's amazing. I'm just going to go right back over there real quick. You stay where you're at there. And I just want to run right back over to Luke chapter 5 real quick. And I just want to read this to you. And I just want to make a statement about this. But Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Hey, can I just say this? You can go as hard as you want to in the world. You can go as hard as you want to in the secular society. You can go as hard as you want to after money and material goods. And you can get all you want. But at the end of the day, that is going to lead to an empty life. Psalmist said, vanity of vanities. And can I just tell you, that's where Peter was here in John 21. He had nothing. Can I say to you tonight, church, on the other side, though, look at verse number 6 with me in John 21. And he said unto him, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall what? Find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And they, Peter jumps out. He's naked. He puts his coat on. He jumps out of the water and he swims over to the shore. In my mind, that's what I picture. And Jesus has fish prepared there for him, a fire there. And that's a whole nother message. But I want you to look with me in John chapter number 21, if you will. Look at verse number 15. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Can I just ask you, you know what revival is? Revival is a renewed zeal to obey God. Revival is a renewed zeal to obey God. Brother McKinney gave that illustration about passing out tracts and giving the gospel. And what's on the other end of your obedience of giving the gospel? Somebody out there needs to be saved. Amen. Amen. Look at your Bible, John 21. I want you to notice what Jesus asked Peter in verse number 15. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said in verse number, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse number 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse number 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Can I say to you tonight that Peter, on the other side of that obedience, Jesus made a command to him there in John 21. He said, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, for just a minute and look with me in Acts chapter number 2 tonight. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 14. Acts chapter 2, just go to the right a few pages. The Bible says this, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He began to preach the gospel. He began to preach about repentance. He began about preaching about getting right with God, if you will. And then take your Bible and go over one more page, the Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. I'm saying Peter saw thousands of souls saved on the other side of his obedience. The Bible said in verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I have a question for you tonight. What if Peter had said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that? What if Peter had said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that? But 3,000 souls were saved on the other side of his obedience. You go in your Bible, if you will, Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter 7, look at verse number 1 with me. And I want you to notice there's a story there in Genesis 5, 6, and 7 about a man named Noah. And the Bible says it was a very wicked day. And I preached to you a little bit Sunday on this scripture about Noah walked with God. But I want you to think about how vile it must have been. It was so vile in Noah's day that God said, I'm going to have to wipe out the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And can I just say to you tonight, church, listen to me, is that Noah walked with God and Noah did right and Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But can I just tell you, it was not just Noah that was life was being affected. It was his kids' lives that were being affected. Look at your Bible, Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, notice this. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. Oh, let's back up and look at verse number 22 real quick. Verse 22 of chapter 6. Just go up one verse. Thus did Noah according to what? All that God commanded him, so did he. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Hey, you know what happened because Noah obeyed God? Listen, because Noah did what God told him to do, he built an ark. I mean, he looked like a fool to the world. And by the way, they think what I'm doing right now is foolishness. Amen. By the foolishness of preaching. But Noah looked like a fool to the world. He said, hey, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Guess what? Jesus is coming. Hey, he's going to preach about Israel Sunday. Jesus is coming. He's getting ready to come. Oh, you're foolish. That's silly. I'm just saying, there's a man that decided that no matter what the world says, no matter what they say about me, no matter what they say about my family, I'm just going to obey God. And on the other side of that obedience, Noah, when God said it's time to come into the ark, he got to bring his boys with him. What if Noah said no? What if Noah said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look silly in front of everybody else. And if it begins to rain and the storms begin to come, and his family will be gone too. Look at your Bible, Genesis chapter 12, if you would, Genesis chapter 12. Here's another story about a man that God called out in Genesis chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1 with me. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hey, listen, God called Abram out that day. I believe this promise in the word of God. I believe that's why America ought to back Israel. I believe believe that was why, that's one of the main reasons God's been so good to Israel. I mean, America over the last several decades is because we've been a friend of Israel. But God said, Abram, I want you to come out. And look what the Bible says in verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. What are you trying to tell us, preacher? I'm saying he didn't know where he was going. God said, Abram, I want you to go and I'll show you. Abram left not knowing where he was going, not knowing what God was going to do with him. He just went by the promise that he had of God, and God told him to go somewhere, and he just listened to God. But what if he hadn't have done that? We wouldn't be preaching about Abram tonight. We'd be preaching about somebody else, because God's going to use somebody to get his will done. He's going to use somebody to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that, God. Look at your Bible with me in Genesis chapter number 41, if you will. Genesis 41. And look with me in verse number 38. You know the story. His name's Potiphar. His name's Joseph. And Joseph was made second in the land of Egypt on the other side of his obedience. And in Genesis 41, we read the story about whenever Joseph is made second in charge of all of Egypt. Look at verse number 38 with me, if you will. Genesis chapter number 41, verse 38, if you will. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the what? Capital S, Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as God has showed thee all this, there is none that so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, hey, can I just say this? Listen, when his daddy said, hey, I want you to go check on your brothers, you know what he did? He did what his daddy told him to do. Whenever he got sold into slavery and he became a slave for Potiphar, you know what he did? He did what Potiphar told him to do. Whenever he got framed for rape and he went to prison, you know what he did? He did what the prison keeper told him to do. Hey, can I just tell you, friend, listen, all along the way, it wasn't fair. All along the way, if it was you and I, we'd probably say, you know what? I don't want to live this life. This ain't fair. I'm not doing what you tell me to do. It ain't fair. That's the way we are at work, ain't we? But he did what he was supposed to do. And on the other side of his obedience, he became number two in charge of the land of Egypt. I'm asking tonight, what's on the other side of your obedience? Take your Bible with me, if you will, and look at 1 Kings chapter number 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to make some statements right here on this one, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But the widow at Zarephath, she saw, I want you to see what she saw on the other side of her obedience. You know what she saw? She saw her needs supplied. And the Bible says here in First Kings chapter 17, there's a famine in the land. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I've commanded a widow woman. You understand verse number 9, 1 Kings 17, verse number 9. Understand this real quick. I have this underlined in my Bible. The Bible says that God told Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there to what? You understand that before God ever talked to Elijah, he had already been in conversation with the widow woman. She had already been praying and saying, God, I need some help. I've got a little meal and I'm about to finish up this barrel of meal, and I don't have any money. And my boy, I don't have a way to feed him. Are y'all listening to me? Look what the Bible says, verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she went, was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, hey, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. Hey, by the way, she already knows what God told her to do. Yeah. Right? She already knows what God told her to do. And the Bible says there in verse number 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain. rain upon the earth. And she went and did according as the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Watch this now, verse number 16, if you there say amen. Amen. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Can I just park right here for just a minute? I got a text today from a lady that goes to our church, and she texted me. She said, "Preacher, and listen to me now. I'm not picking on anybody. If you're struggling financially, I'm not picking on you. But can I just tell you, the church is not your God. The preacher is not your God. I give out a lot of money. My wife tell you, I'm a giver, and people need bill money and rent money and all that. And if I have it, I won't loan it to anybody, because if I loan it to somebody and they don't pay me back, that they will quit coming to church. That's the way it is. But if I have it to give, I'll give it. Are y'all with me? So I'm not picking on anybody tonight, but I know it happens in this church. It happens in every church. She said, "I need $600 for my water bill." And I thought, we're going to have a conversation when I get back home. That's what I thought first. But this is not the first time she's ever called and asked for money or texted me and asked for money. Listen to me. That widow woman had nothing. Absolutely nothing but a little meal in a barrel. It's not fair that God would ask her to give that little bit of meal in the barrel to take care of that preacher. That's just not fair. It's not fair. Humanly speaking, why would God do that? Because God's not interested in the meal in the barrel, and he's not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. And what she was doing was every time she'd go back to that barrel and there was a little meal in there, every time she was going back, she was having to trust God. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody right here, but I'm going to tell you something. The same promise for the widow at Zarephath is true for you as it is for her. God, on the other side of our obedience, of giving to the Lord, God's got our supply, man. Amen. I had a fella. For the first few years of our church, he started coming to our church. He's always borrowing money from me. And he made a lot of money. So I always loaned it to him. And sometimes he paid me back and sometimes he wouldn't. And one day he stayed for a business meeting after he'd been there for 3 years. He stayed for a business meeting. He got the little financial report. By the way, let me just go on record saying I hate business meetings. Somebody say amen. But they got a little financial report, and it said staff salaries. And he brought that up to me. He said, "This staff salaries, is that your salary?" I said, "Well, mine's included in there." He said, "Well, what about Brother Daniel and Brother Matt and Miss Myra?" And he went on. I said, "Yes, sir, ours is included in that, or theirs is included in that staff salaries too." He said, "Well, I make more money than y'all all do put together. Why am I borrowing money from you all the time?" I said, "I've been wondering the same question." I know why. Because he wasn't trusting God with his finances. Yeah. On the other side of your obedience, you understand that people in Africa who are poor and have nothing need to learn the same principle about giving as people in America do. It's the same God that has the same promise. And man, when the blindfold ever comes off, I'm just here to tell you, when people ever learn you don't need to get upset with the preacher when he gets up here and he starts preaching about tithing and giving. Because listen to me, friend, I'm going to tell you, the church has gone on long enough and gone on just fine without your money if you're not giving. So you're not going to make a difference if it's going to go forward or not. But I tell you what we'll do. Matthew 6, verse number 24 says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Man, one of the things that I've drilled in my kids their whole life is make sure you're giving tithes and offerings. Why, preacher? Because I want God to have their heart. Look at your Bible with me. On the other side of her obedience, that widow woman in verse number 16. Verse number 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not." Listen. Trinity Baptist Church doesn't need to meet your needs, doesn't need to supply your needs. God does. Yeah. By the way, God wants to. Because when it happens, and you can pray, by the way, you can pray just like anybody else prays. Can I just say this? I don't know where you're at tonight financially, and we all go through struggles at times, and if you're not going through struggles now and everything's good, you remember the days when you used to go through struggles, when you first learned to start tithing, and when you first learned to get on board with it, and you're thinking, man, I don't know how this is going to work. This don't make sense. I can't pay my bills now. You know what that is? That's called faith, and you got to step out and trust God, and listen, and just believe that God can do what God said He'd do, and can I just tell you, listen, He can, amen. Amen. Oh, your Bible with me, excuse me, and Luke chapter number 1, if you will. Luke chapter 1, let's roll over there real quick. Luke chapter number 1, and look with me in verse number 5. Here's a story of a godly man and woman named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And the Bible says there, let's look at verse number 5, in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias and of the course of Abiah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Watch this now. Verse 6, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. What? Blameless. And you know, many of you are familiar with the story. They could not have children, but God chose them because of their testimony to have a son. Look at verse number 13. And the Bible says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I mean, what an amazing testimony. Here's a man and woman. They could have got discouraged. They could have got upset. I mean, they're getting older in life, couldn't have children. Everybody could talk about why they're not having children. Maybe they're cursed. Maybe somebody wants to gossip. I mean, I could just imagine the women getting together on Facebook and talk. Well, you know, listen, let me just tell you about her. I mean, just as godly as she could be, but somebody could come up with something negative. Amen. And God comes to them one day, says, you're going to have a child. You know why God picked them? God picked them because of verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And on the other side of their obedience, God had a great plan. What if Zacharias and Elizabeth would have said, nah, let's just not worry about serving God. Let's not worry about Him. Look at your Bible in Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. I'm talking to you tonight, church, about what God's been dealing with you about in your life. Paul and Silas are in prison in Acts chapter number 16. And they begin to sing praises. The prison walls begin to shake and the chains fall off. And the Philippian jailer's about to kill himself. And Paul says to him, do thyself no harm. Verse number 28, for we're all here. Then the jailer in verse number 29, he called for a light and he sprang in and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Watch this now. He's not saying because daddy got saved, the rest of the kids get saved. But because daddy got saved, the rest of the family did get saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all and all that were there in his house. Verse number 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Can I say this tonight? Listen to me. The jailer got saved. His family got saved. Why, preacher? Because he believed God and he obeyed God. Hey, can I just tell you tonight? Listen to me, parents. Hey, on the other side of your obedience, you're making an impact on your children. The Bible said this in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can I tell you, if you're going home and you're disgruntled or upset about something the preacher said, or you're justifying how you're living your life and saying, well, I know what he said and I know what he's preaching, but I don't necessarily believe that. Hey, can I just tell you tonight, you're damaging your children. You're giving them a reason to justify living a worldly life. Because if they don't like it, they don't have to do it. Amen. Yeah. I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. I hate that Elijah moved to Texas. I hate it. I'm just telling you all that. I mean, I hate that. I just don't understand why any of my kids would want to leave or be away from their daddy. Y'all understand me? For some reason, I got to let them grow up. You know, he found a church. He's going to a good church. And every so often, I text the preacher and I say, how's he doing? Is he faithful at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Preacher texts back and says, he's doing great. He's blessing. He's always here, never misses. If he has to be out of town or something, he texts the preacher and lets him know. He called his mama the other day, last Thursday, I think it was, and he just called. He was on his way home from soul winning. And well, I tell you what that did on the inside of our hearts. We're not there to make sure he's doing it. We have a single young man moves off, living by himself. As a parent, you're thinking, oh, Lord, they can get into anything. Can I just tell you tonight, mamas and daddies, that Philippian jailer made a decision to trust Christ as a Savior, and it impacted his family. What's on the other side of your obedience tonight? Yesterday, I was sitting at the house, and my wife was on the couch doing something on the computer, but I got a phone call. And I don't know if y'all get this in Alabama, I mean in Texas, but every jail in Alabama lets them use cell phones. Is that in Texas too now? So I get a phone call from prison, from penitentiary in Bessemer, Alabama, and I put it on speakerphone. Rodney Belton, he's 26. 10 years ago, Rodney was in our Christian school. He's a bus kid. We sponsored him to go to Christian school. He started struggling. I called him in my office, and I said, Rodney, I said, what do you want with your life? And I gave him the spiel that I gave our youth pastor who's serving the Lord today, but when he was 16, I'll tell you that in just a minute. I said, Rodney, what do you want with your life? And I said, the decisions you're making right now, the choices, you're going to throw your life away. And what, just a couple months later, we were playing basketball against Central Baptist in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Brother Buchanan was a pastor. I think Junior was a pastor at the time. Rodney scored 60 points on Friday night basketball game. He thought he was it. We got back home. The next morning, I got a phone call from Rodney. Crime. He's in jail. So I went up to the jail to see him. We got back from a Christian school basketball game. He molested his 10-year-old cousin. And I sat in the jail cell with him that Saturday. He's like, bawling. Just bawling. I said, Rodney, 3 months ago, I said, several times over the last 3 months, I had him in my office. Say, son, I'm just going to tell you, was his family life terrible? It was terrible. It was terrible. But he made a dumb decision. Yesterday, when I had him on speakerphone, he's telling me about how terrible it is and all the wickedness that's going on in penitentiary between the police officers and the prisoners and all that stuff. He said, Preacher, I just wish I could go back to being 15 or 16 again and make different decisions. I said, yeah, I bet you do. Our youth pastor, Brother Daniel, he's 32 or 33 now. And 17 years ago, his mama called. He's from Texas. He's from Waxahachie. And I led him to the Lord when he was 10. He's never known his daddy. Mama called, and he was on drugs and messing around with the wrong crowd and just terrible, messed up. And she said, I can't handle him anymore. And I told him he could go to a boys' home, or if you let him come live with y'all, he could come live with y'all. And he moved to Alabama, flew him in, or his mama paid for the plane ticket. She loves him to death. She just didn't want to throw his life away. And I sat him down in the living room one afternoon, and I said, son, I said, how'd you get here? And he said, what do you mean? I flew. I said, yeah, but how'd you get here? I said, why are you 650 miles from your mama? Why are you in trouble with the law? I had to call a judge to get him to release him to my custody. I said, why are you here? He said, I guess because of what I did. I said, you're here because you made bad choices. And I said, where do you want to be in 10 years even? He told me, he said, well, I'd like to have a good marriage like you and Miss Deanne. And he said, I'd like to raise my kids to love God. And I said, what's going to get you there? The right choices. Now, I want, and by the way, can I just tell you, 16 years old, his life completely changed. He started listening to preaching all the time. He got fired up for God. He was like the leading preacher boy in our youth department for 4 or 5 years, really. He's been our youth pastor for the last several years, last 10 years, I guess. He got married to one of the young ladies in the church. They got three wonderful kids. I mean, God's been good to him. You know why? Because at some point when he was 16, he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to obey God. I'm asking you tonight, parents, sometimes it gets frustrating because we're pulled from the world. And the world wants us to do one thing. And we're here preaching at church about one thing. And we think, well, I want my kids to be this. And we're pushing our kids one direction. And we get home, and you know, a lot of reasons why we struggle with our kids. I'm just going to help you. I hope you don't get upset with me. But we don't want to give up some areas in our life that we're struggling with. So we're telling our kids it's okay. Are y'all with me tonight? It's okay for me to do what I'm doing. You don't look at what I'm doing. You just do what you're supposed to do. And they're thinking, well, that's not right. We're not fooling them. What's on the other side of your obedience tonight? Godly family, the blessings of God upon your home. I could take you through so many more stories tonight. But I'm saying I can't but help think that through all the prayer meetings, cottage prayer meetings, the preaching of the preacher getting up and preaching about going to the next level, that God hasn't been dealing with you about something. And God's saying, hey, it's time to make a decision and do what I've asked you to do. If Noah would have said, no, I'm not, I don't want to do that. You know what he would have missed out on? If Peter had said, no, Lord, it's not me. I can't go preach to those people. I can't. You know what Peter would have missed out on? We look at all these stories in the Bible and we think, man, they're powerful. They weren't powerful people. They were just like you and I. They were just normal people that one day God said, I want you to. And they said, yes, Lord. I'm saying tonight, what do you need to say yes, Lord, about?